And we, the people, will be back again tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here on WBAI.
I'm pulling through, and it's because of you. When I was stranded, came your helping hand.
And thanks to you, we did pull through. We appreciate your support in our Million Dollar March to Independence, but we need you to honor your pledge. Mail your check or money order to Pacifica WBAI Radio, P.O. Box 12345, Church Street Station, New York, New York 10249. And stay with us here on your community radio station, listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, for those special kinds of programs that you won't get anywhere else on your dial. Thanks for your support.
When I thought that hope was really gone, you showed me I was
wrong. Come, you masters of war. Here to build the big guns. Here to build the death planes.
This Tuesday night, Wednesday morning at 1:30 a.m., Weaponry turns Inside Out for Women's Month and becomes...
Disarming with Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman as host, and with special guest Colleen Gallagher, an honest-to-goodness, honorably discharged, conscientious objector to the Gulf War. There'll be listener phone calls, music, and the beginning of readings from The Politics of Nonviolent Action by Jean Sharp, the Machiavelli of nonviolence. Tune in for War by Other Means. That's Tuesday night, Wednesday morning at 1:30 a.m. Sorry about that.
May you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly.
Now, just wait a minute. Some of us would be very happy to be on at 1:30 in the morning. In fact, some of us would be happy to be on at 3 in the morning, or at all, for that matter. But it's 8 o'clock in the evening now, and that means it's time for Off the Hook.
Good evening to everybody. This is yet another edition of Off the Hook. Rather momentous one, I would say. This is the day that Bernie S. went before a judge to be sentenced. And we have the results of that, trial, I guess, and what it means for all of us. Hopefully, we'll be hearing from him pretty soon, keeping an eye on the phone there. Fiber Optics here with us today. How you doing, Fiber? Oh, wrong microphone again, sorry.
Okay, how are you, Emmanuel, again?
I'm just fine. We have a few people that went with us to the event today, I guess is the best way to phrase it. And, you know, it's always kind of disheartening going to a thing like that, going to a sentencing. It doesn't happen all that often in our lives, but it's happened enough so that we kind of know what it's like and know what the ramifications of it are. Bernie, as we've been talking to you over the past few months as this living hell has dragged on. And today, he finally found out what his fate was to be. I won't drag it out as far as giving the answer. They sentenced him to more prison time. Not a whole lot more. Basically, 6 months to 24 months. It sounds like a lot, but what it basically means is that he should be out by July. So in that regard, I talked to him afterwards. In that regard, it means that at least there's an end in sight of some sort. But it's still way, way too much for what we're talking about here. Where do I begin? Well, first of all, let me introduce a couple of people that were there at the same time. Master Chemist and Izzy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay.
Good evening.
We sent a few people over there to see what was going on. And it was scary. It always is scary to be in a situation like that where you see a friend of yours standing before a judge, standing before people that want to make him suffer as much as possible. And that's really what it boils down to. And hearing things that just make you so angry and upset and knowing that you can't do anything about it. This radio show actually came up. WBAI was mentioned by the Secret Service as one of the reasons why Bernie S. should be in prison. Because, and this is the part I had trouble following this. The judge cut Tom Barney off. Tom Barney is the Secret Service agent who has spearheaded this thing since last year. It's like, I don't know, there must be some sort of a blood feud going on between Bernie S.'s family and Tom Barney, because I've never seen anyone go after, you know, someone with such a passion, you know, except for the Hatfields and McCoys or something like that. I don't know. There's something about Bernie S. that Tom Barney really does not like. And 50 years from now, he will appear on a stand someplace saying why he is a threat to society and has to be locked up for as long as possible. I mean, there were no limits here. He would lock him up for eternity if he could. You know, he never said anything at all redeeming about this guy. And this is someone who was found with a software program, with crystals, and books. Things like that. Touchtone dialers, and yes, one red box, although he's never accused of using it. And for that, 7 months in federal prison with hardened criminals, mobsters, people like that, that wasn't enough. No, that didn't do it. There has to be more. There has to be more of a penalty. Where does it end? Well, it didn't end today. It continued. He's been in prison for about 3 months since January, and he'll be in prison for about another 3 months, at least. Something still could go wrong with that, although hopefully it won't. Hopefully the end will occur. But this is not the end of the case by any means. They will still be watching him very, very closely and just pouncing at the first opportunity. For reasons we still don't quite understand, we have some idea. We think it's because of the pictures of Secret Service agents that he happened to have, because a friend of his had given them to him, and they kind of freaked out when they went to his house and saw those. It's also to send a message to us, to our listeners, to the readers of 2600. 2600 was also mentioned as proof that this person was a danger to society. A lot of things that you would take for granted, a lot of things that are part of our daily lives, you know, electronic equipment, phony identification, okay, that was one thing. That was one thing that I thought was really funny. They said that he had a fake identification card, and it was like a fake press card. What the Secret Service did not mention, though, was that on the other side of the press card, it said, push. So it was kind of like a joke, you know, where you put weird, funny names on things, but they made it into some sort of weird conspiracy. And everything that he did was looked upon in the gravest sense. It was almost funny to see this gross distortion. Let's see, they mentioned a few things here. They mentioned Bernie S. writing in his diary that he had tapped phone lines. Now, what this turned out to be was that Bernie S. in the past had listened in on cordless telephone calls, which was not even illegal at the time. It happens to be illegal now, but it was not illegal then. So,
Yeah, sure. I've done the same thing. A lot of us have. It's not a big deal. You turn on a radio and you listen. Hardened criminal here. They rambled on about some nonsense having to do with a voice-activated tape recorder, which I guess he used in conjunction with the scanner, which seems like a logical thing to do if you want to hear people's phone conversations. I mean, I'm not saying listening to people's phone conversations is right, but if you're stupid enough to use a cordless phone, you should know that people are listening to you. It's obvious, you know? You have to scramble your signal and code it in some way or else people are going to be listening. That's just how it works. And you can make all the laws in the world. It's not going to change that fact. And it's also not going to vilify these people that happen to do it, just for curiosity's sake. What else? His lawyer brought up the point that that he was locked up with 23 of the most dangerous criminals in Pennsylvania. 23 of them, because he was in with the maximum security people, because his bail was so high. It was initially $250,000. It was lowered finally to $100,000. Wow. So he was up there with murderers, rapists, all kinds of people that really aren't in his social group, so to say. You guys have any feedback, input, questions? Izzy?
I liked when they talked about the white plastic stuff.
The white plastic
and
stuff.
And they had the Secret Service had made a point of talking about these white plastic cards, which they insinuated were blank credit cards that were ready to be encoded for some kind of illicit purpose.
Right.
And they went on to say that they found a number of credit cards in his name with very high balances.
Yeah, now the credit cards were in his name.
I have high balances too. Does that mean a potential criminal?
So they find credit cards and they look these up and it's your credit card, but you have a high balance on that, so that makes you,
suspicious.
Very suspicious. And, yeah, he was interested in how magnetic strips work. We all are. You know, we read credit cards through card readers to see what they say, what's on there.
But the Secret Service didn't mention that he had an encoder or reader.
I'm not even sure if he did have one of those.
They didn't mention that he had an embosser. Uh-huh. They mentioned that they had a logo from a credit card company or a store card or anything like that. They were just white, blank piece of plastic.
Right.
They could be anything.
They could be anything, exactly. There's all kinds of legitimate reasons for making cards of your own.
Right.
And for learning how the whole...
Maybe has a fan club.
I mean, we don't want technology to remain a secret, do we? We don't want every bit of how the phone company works, how credit cards work, how computers work. We don't want all that to be stifled. People should be out there experimenting and trying new things. I think that he was sentenced today just because of the judge thinking of him as like a wise guy. He used that phrase at one point.
Yeah, he did.
He said, "You, sir, are a true wise guy," or something like that. And it was almost funny because, I mean, it was a pathetic spectacle, I have to tell you. He practically has bronchitis or tuberculosis or something. He's been coughing nonstop for about 4 weeks now. He was up there in front of the judge, doubled over, coughing, almost for the entire hearing.
Right.
Occasionally somebody would bring him a glass of water, which he'd try to drink in his handcuffed hands.
Right, and he had to bring that.
I mean, what is the point of keeping somebody in shackles like that? You know, it's...
The strange thing is that the judge was saying how he was not a physical threat to society.
Right.
But yet he was in shackles. What? He had a belt around him, tying the handcuffs to his waist.
Not a physical threat. What is he, a mental threat of some sort?
There were like six officers with guns, one in each corner of the room, and like two throughout the court.
I think a few were for us, too.
Well, of course.
Now, I was told that some of them were staring at us. Is that...
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
What did you... I was just focusing on what was going on in the front.
When the Secret Service agent went to testify before the judge, there was another gentleman, if I could say that word... That came in with him and stood inside the court. Like, he passed through that little swinging door. And he had his head turned towards the judge and, like, half an ear cocked listening to the testimony. And his eyes were peeled sharply on you.
On me, huh? I'm sorry I missed this.
The yellow hair, remember?
Mm-hmm.
It was awful toupee. I mean, really yellow, orange,
I did see
hay,
a yellowish object at one point, but I wasn't sure what it was. It's an odd color.
Sporting the NBO suit. Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Okay, so this person was keeping an eye on us, but you say he was keeping an eye on me. What do you expect me to do?
First of all, they passed it through two metal detectors. They brought in a metal detector just for us.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in a special metal. First you go into the court building. But
right.
Then we went into the courtroom, and this wasn't there last time. They set up a special metal detector. I don't know what the point is.
Yeah, it wasn't there before the trial, sorry, because we walked down to the end of the court.
Uh-huh.
Not you and me, someone else. And we walked down to the end of that building.
They really thought we were up to
and
something.
And we saw the corridor. I don't remember seeing that metal detector there. But when we came back to go into the courtroom.
It was a portable system.
Uh-huh. And they were finding metal, like, you know, on my bare arm and things. You know, it didn't make any sense. But when you first, Izzy, when you first went in, they questioned you, you know, why are you here? What was your relation to this case?
We got there at 8 o'clock this morning, and you guys hadn't arrived yet. And we went into the lobby, and I asked the security guard where the Cummings case was being held.
Hang on, let's see if he's on here. Hello?
Hello?
Nope. Somebody transferred to the wrong line, I think. All right, sorry. Continue.
And I said, no, we don't know anything about that. I said, well, when will somebody know? Because there was no one at the information desk. And I said, well, someone should be here around 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as I was walking out, there was another sheriff from Easton, Pennsylvania, who walked out ahead of me. And when I got to the car, he said to me, where are you from? I said, I'm from New York. Where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
Which might not have been the best.
Probably not. Although if you're from New York, you can do things like that. But,
and he said that he was from right here.
Uh-huh.
And that made him sound very important. And he asked, are you a friend of Mr. Cummings? I said, no, actually, I've never met him.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter spoke up and said, yeah, he knows Ed and that we were here for the trial. And he said that, well, you can't keep the car here. You have to move it away. So we went and parked and came back and
mm-hmm.
met up with you guys. But, I mean, it was just my first introduction to this. And here's
yeah.
this sheriff from Easton, Pennsylvania. I mean, this driving metropolis and
mm-hmm.
downtrodden MPA and
right
and he thought of himself as very important.
Now you went through with your umbrella and they
well this was at the second metal detector,
the second metal
right
detector.
Before we walked in and you take everything out of your pockets and you have to pass the umbrella through and
right.
the security guard was looking at it and he opened it up and then he closed it and he went
ooh
great sound
mm-hmm.
that is a
mm-hmm.
great sound let's do that one more time
did that come across fine?
That came across great let's try it again. Oh, that's amazing.
That is an umbrella.
Yeah, but they gave it back to you after they did
well,
it.
Yeah, they gave it back
times.
To you. I mean,
well, maybe we should actually say hello to all our new Secret Service friends.
Well, yeah, I think the Secret Service has finally figured out how to listen to the radio station
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to threaten the radio station into A, giving up tapes, and B, stopping the broadcast. But they are listening, and they made it as if Bernie S. was violating some sort of sacred oath by talking about his case to the public. And, you know, what did they expect him to do? Sit in solitary confinement someplace and just not talk to anybody or complain about the way he's being treated? You know, the judge said he shows no remorse. You know, well, I wouldn't show much remorse for a system that does something like this to somebody. I mean, he has always been straightforward with exactly what it is he's been doing. And whether it's something you agree with or something you don't agree with, he came forward with everything. If you ask him a question about a particular aspect of his life that wasn't clear, he would explain it to you without any hesitation whatsoever. It's these dimwits that don't understand what the technology is in the first place that jump to conclusions.
Well, I'll say, like, the one chance I did get to talk to him at PumpCon in Philadelphia, just a very straightforward, honest person, very interested in teaching others.
Right.
So it's actually to his disservice that he's so honest and straightforward, because the court is obviously taking that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes there's just a lot of ambiguity with some of the items that they found, and they may not understand the technology. And remember, the Secret Service guy said that they found a mercury switch.
Yeah.
And the state's attorney was questioning the Secret Service guy and said, well, what do you use a mercury switch for? And obviously the Secret Service guy said, well, it's used I don't think he used the word bomb, but I think in, like, explosives devices.
Well, he tried to imply
that
the only purpose for a mercury switch would be to build a bomb.
Right.
They're trying to paint this character, and there's absolutely nothing backing that up.
And then Bernie's attorney went on to question the same guy and said, "Well, can't you also use a mercury switch essentially for a
thermostat for anything?"
Which is a perfectly legitimate use.
Absolutely, I think for the most part, the judge threw out a lot of what the Secret Service was saying.
Well, he said, you know, obviously he's not a terrorist, mm-hmm. and I'm just basically going to disregard most of this. But I think the Secret Service tried to demonize him.
Absolutely.
I sat there listening to this, and I thought if I didn't know any better, I would think that he was no worse than the guys that were put on trial here for for terrorist activities. I mean, it sounded awful. And the case still hasn't resolved the question, is it wrong to have information on how to make a bomb? Is that so wrong? I mean, that question hasn't been answered.
See, we have to keep bringing this back to what is this case really about? And no matter what you say, no matter how you interpret the facts and say things and put forth innuendos and things like that, what we are talking about is instructions on how to build a red box which disappeared while he was in custody, and which, in fact, as many of us know, was not even done by him in the first place. It was one of his cronies that he just never wanted to rat on, I guess. Basically, taking a piece of... And, you know, it sounded ridiculous when they mentioned it today in court, that, the cop brought them into the room and left them there with the evidence and went into another room. And when he came back, the evidence wasn't there anymore.
A lot of problems with that
story. I mean, come on. How stupid can you get? I mean, first of all, obviously they weren't told that was evidence. They weren't put under arrest. They were left there. The guy went away, did something, came back. In fact, he even let them go, and then he discovered later that that the evidence, quote unquote, was gone. It was a piece of paper. And today, I also found out that they initially they had said that the batteries, taking the batteries out of the tone dialers, was a big offense. But they later put batteries back into them, and then they discovered that only one of them worked. Now, I don't see how he could take batteries out of a tone dialer and make it stop working when new batteries are put in. It probably either wasn't working in the first place, or they put the batteries in upside down, or something.
Well, just by the fact of them putting batteries into a piece of evidence, I think constitutes evidence tampering.
that's just
a minor legal issue.
But anyway, we're talking about instructions for building a red box. Mm-hmm. A, what's illegal about having instructions on how to build a device? As far as I know, using a device to defraud a phone company—that's what's illegal. But even if you're caught doing that, a year in prison, a year with the most dangerous criminals in the world. We're talking about the removing of the batteries, both of which he never did in the first place. Let's face it. And the second thing, which happened last year, which was having the software and having the crystals for modifying various electronic objects. The software, which allows you, after doing a few more things, allows you to copy a cellular extension, something which someone else was charged with and found not guilty, even though he was much more blatant about it. He actually sold boxes to people that would do just that, and Bernie simply had software that could be used for that effect. It's already been proven that that is not a violation of any law to do that.
What makes it very scary is that the Secret Service made it very apparent today in open court that they have the manpower, they have the time and the money, and they plan to use cases like this to give them license to do whatever the hell they want anyway.
Yeah,
it was a very scary experience.
I read that, too. I read that they'll be doing a lot more of this kind of thing, that they're targeting people like us. Mm-hmm. They're listening to the radio program, they're reading the magazine, and they're just waiting for some opportunity to do something. But what they don't understand is they could come after us, they could do whatever they want to us, but it's not going to change anything.
The feeling that I got was that if you're somebody out there that's very interested in learning things, regardless what the topic is, you need to be aware of what's in your house. Because mm-hmm. the feeling that I got is that nobody's safe anywhere. It's that if you want to have something secure, put it in a self-storage place and have it under a different name or something like that. Just don't have it all laying around your house.
But you see, the thing is...
And that's it.
Yeah, it's a paradox, though, because doing that makes sense, but... If they discover that you're doing that, it makes you look guilty.
True.
It makes you look like you're trying to hide something.
True.
And all you're trying to do is protect yourself against these wanton searches and seizures.
Well, the way the Secret Service comes across and says, he also had copies of 2600, that's a hacker magazine.
Yeah.
The whole court's faces were in disgust. I mean, they barely understand what's inside these issues.
I know.
It's a very scary situation.
Imagine how I felt sitting up there hearing him say this and as evidence as to why you should lock somebody up, because they have copies of the magazine.
He listens to a radio show and he does interviews, right?
Yeah, and you know, he started to say something else. He started to say, and his followers have taken it upon themselves, and that's when the judge stopped him. I wish I knew what he was going to say about people like us, what we have taken it upon ourselves to do.
I think it's definitely just the beginning from things we're going to hear from the Secret Service.
And one of my favorite parts was about the email to the president and Mrs. Clinton.
Email was received by the president of the United States and Mrs. Clinton, was that it?
Right.
Concerning this, which means I guess they read their email, but yes, so somebody sent them email about Bernie, yes? I mean,
but they must get thousands of messages every day about various people who are on trial for whatever, or various political issues.
I mean, I don't think it was Bernie S. doing it from prison, so what's the point?
I didn't get it.
Yeah.
That was...
I kind of wish they had let him finish, because I wanted to see what...
He said that he had no plans of, like, doing anything like this again. His attorney, like, repeatedly said to the judge that, you know, his client was aware of and had been reprimanded sufficiently with being in jail for a year. And yet the judge, you know, still felt, no, I'm not going to let him out. So it's a lot of things need to be...
Although one thing which I do think should be mentioned is that publicity definitely made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I was speaking to him after the hearing. We visited a little later. And he said that he had heard from someone else in the prison that they wanted to give him a lot more time, but they couldn't.
Because of the press,
they couldn't because of the attention.
I didn't know the legal system worked like that.
It does. And you know that the attention made a difference because, A, there are newspaper reporters there.
Mm-hmm.
B, there was a brand new metal detector there. C, they were kind of held back in what they were doing. You know, I mean, to us, it didn't seem that way at all. It seemed like it was horrible what they were doing. But so much worse.
What did Bernie say about the attitude of the judge in a room filled with people compared to when he was
alone? The demeanor of the judge changes proportionally to the number of people that are in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an interesting story. When he was first brought before this judge, this was way back when the piece of paper disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
that's what this case really all revolves around, the piece of paper disappearing. And, it's like a piece of paper that we would print in the magazine, too. That's mm-hmm. what really bothers me about this. It's like a page of 2,600, and because that disappeared, he's tampering with evidence. It's just so insane. So he was brought before this judge to face sentencing for that. He was sentenced to, I think, 3 years of probation or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to appear once a month. And the judge wouldn't let him appear close to his home. He said he'd have to come all the way out here to Northampton and appear once a month. Now, Bernie's license had been suspended at that point, and he asked the judge, well, you know, my license is suspended, and I can't drive up here easily. Mm-hmm. And you know what the judge said in response to that?
Mm-hmm.
Every 2 weeks. He doubled the time, because he tried to change it based on that. And today, the judge gives him a long lecture about his lousy driving record and the fact that his license is suspended. And, by the way, how did you get up here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to wonder, what's really going on here? It's like a catch-22. It's there's no way you can win.
Well, people need to...
people need to...
seriously educating themselves about what the Secret Service is doing.
Well,
so instead of them just showing up at your door, we should pretty much be monitoring what they're doing also.
Yeah. You see, they can't do this kind of thing if people know what they're doing, if they're aware of what's going on, if they speak out against it. A lot of people spoke out against it. Not enough, though. I don't think enough people have spoken out against this this whole issue. There were a lot of people in power, I think, who could have done something, who didn't.
Well, if people can request the transcript of what was said in the court, it's a very sobering experience.
Right.
Very sobering.
We're trying to get a hold of that ourselves.
It should definitely be made available somewhere on the web.
Absolutely. We're open to suggestion as to how to proceed at this point. Obviously, this is not going to go away. This is not the last time something like this will happen. And I'm sure the Secret Service will look upon this as a green light
mm-hmm.
to do all kinds of other things. And it's a frightening situation we're all facing. And we feel it very, very deeply here at this show. We feel it at the magazine. We feel it just among the people we hang out with. basically we're being targeted because of what our interests are, because of what it is we talk about, because of our openness on exposing certain things when we find them. And speaking of exposing certain things when we're finding them, you may, if those of you who have access to the internet, to the World Wide Web, you may want to be around tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, on our website.
Mm-hmm.
We're opening a special page, and we're going to dedicate this one to the Secret Service. So,
a lot of good pictures in that one.
Well, we don't want to give away too much, but it's tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, on our website. So, might be an interesting place to be. And it's not something we're doing to be obnoxious.
It just
something,
coincides.
Well, it's something we're doing because we have the right to do this. And if we don't have the right to do this, then we have to see laws that say we do not have the right to do what. I don't want to give away too much information, but everything that we do is legal above the board, and the things that we see that's happening are the rules are changing. It's becoming much more restrictive.
I don't think the Secret Service is playing by rules, to be quite honest with you.
No. Well, when you're, you know, an army of 2,000 people around the country with guns, and I'm just talking about the special agents, not everybody, about 4,000 of them altogether, you can pretty much set your own rules. Mm-hmm. And when the Secret Service rolls into town, people tend to listen. Mm-hmm. And you say, this person's dangerous, this person is evil, this person should be locked up. There's not much questioning going on. Not much at all. So, they're not good enemies to have. Unfortunately, they've declared themselves enemies. There is nothing that that people of our kind have done that warrants this kind of abuse, this kind of response from them. They basically said that it's open hunting season on hackers or people that mm-hmm. that are interested in hacking technology or just interested in technology at all. And, you know, there's got to be a reaction to that. People don't take that kind of thing kindly. People who are individualistic in mind are going to react against that. And I can't imagine what is going through their minds, what they think they are going to accomplish by alienating an entire culture by using these kind of tactics in a free society. It's going to come back to haunt them. I'm certain the day will come when they will be held accountable for what they have done to this one person, to God knows how many other people. I'm sure justice will prevail.
Only if people
eventually
get it together.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have it together.
Well,
I just
get it together to, like, focus.
I just think there aren't enough powerful people who are willing to step forward and say something about this. A few more, it could have made a difference. It could have really done something. A lot of people spoke up. A lot of people, you know, wrote letters and sent email and various other things like that. But, you know, there's a lot of people there that could really move mountains with just a couple of words. But, you know, it might not be politically opportune.
One thing I think that needs to be said is that, especially I can say from seeing him in person today, is that just to reinforce, if anybody has anything they want to mail him, if that's possible, I don't know if that address we still have for him is valid, but he's a person who's in pain, physically and spiritually.
Yeah.
He definitely needs some support from us.
Yeah. You know, at least we see an end in sight now, 3 months more to go.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah. But we don't know what's waiting for him when he gets out, what they're going to pull on him at that point. And we also, don't know what it's like, you know, except maybe for Fiber, what it's like to be in a situation like that for an extended period of time. He's held up incredibly well. I have never seen anybody go through such a situation and still keep a sense of humor. And he really, I would be a lot more bitter than he is.
He was bent over and coughing and almost passing out in the courtroom for the whole, what was it, an hour or so?
I had to look away for quite a bit of this because it was such a spectacle seeing this guy doubled over. And the judge was ignoring him. He was coughing his guts out.
Twice, yeah.
And he didn't even seem concerned with his plight. He was just basically saying, well, you know, probation is not the answer for you. That's not going to work, you know. And it was just nonsense.
But yet he's not a physical threat. It was ridiculous.
It's enough to make you lose a lot of faith in the whole system. But again, as I said, I think in the end, with enough people doing something, I mean, I was very heartened to hear that the publicity had a good effect. You know, some people thought mm-hmm. it might have a bad effect, but I think when you put pressure on people, you know, people making these decisions, it's got to do something. Staying quiet is never the answer. Anyway, if you want to send him email, you can do that, BernieS@2600.com, and we'll forward it over to him. I don't have his other address there, but, you know, if you finger the site, BernieS@2600.com, it gives you the snail mail address as well. Okay, so that's pretty much it for the Bernie S. saga. I guess he's not going to be getting through to us today. I was kind of afraid that would happen. Last week, he wasn't able to get through because they kept him locked up for the hour that we were on the air. They might be getting some suggestions to do that by certain people. Who knows? But one way or another, we will get the information to you. Okay, Fiber. To just change gears a little bit, we'll be taking phone calls in a couple of minutes, but we've got a few things to update people on. We mentioned this last week for only a brief moment, and that was the AT&T venture into the Internet. Gosh, I hope we're not offending anybody by talking about this or having files opened up on us by wanting to know more, but hey, we're going to talk about this issue too. AT&T and WorldNet, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah, WorldNet.
What a silly name. I don't mean to insult the corporate giants, but come on. WorldNet? First of all, there are so many WorldNets already in existence. I did a Who Is on world.net on the Internet. It turned out to be in Australia, you know, and I don't think that's what AT&T is. Then WorldNet.com is somebody else. You know, everyone's got a WorldNet someplace. But, okay, so they're opening up WorldNet. What is this? What kind of Internet access is this?
They're apparently claiming that they want to offer Internet access to the masses for roughly $20 a month.
Okay.
And
that's $20 a month if you're an AT&T customer.
If you're an AT&T customer, yes. But I think that they're automatically assuming that most people are.
That's like $10,000 a month if you're not an AT&T customer? Or am I exaggerating that just a tad?
I don't know if they actually...
Actually,
no,
I have it here.
$24.
I think it's either $24.95 or $24 if you're not an AT&T customer. It's a good deal. It really is. Unlimited time. It's going to change a lot of things, but I'm not quite sure what kind of Internet access they're actually offering. Were you able to glean anything out of that?
No, but I've been hearing mixed things.
Uh-huh.
One thing I heard is that they plan on offering an interface kind of thing, an interface to the net that is meant for people to have sort of point-and-click web-type access to the net, and it's not going to be the type of thing drop you into a Unix shell and let you do whatever you want.
Right.
But it'll be a lot more restrictive, something along the lines of AOL.
I wish we could find out more, you know, about how the whole system works.
That'd probably be pretty hard, since it probably doesn't exist yet.
No, that's not what I heard. I heard that that it does exist, except that it's been in existence for business customers since I think last October.
Really?
Yeah. So, I don't know, if anybody could just tell us what domain they use, so we can at least check out the site and tell people, you know, what kind of system they run and if it's any good whatsoever. But mostly, you know, I'd just like to hear from...
Thank you for calling AT&T OneNet Service. This is Sylvie Horton speaking. Would you like me to send you the free software?
Well, this is indeed something. Yeah, you happen to be from WorldNet, huh?
I'm sorry?
You're from WorldNet?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I was just curious... you just sort of popped onto the phone here. I wasn't expecting to hear this, actually. I'm very curious about WorldNet. When does it actually begin?
March 14th.
March 14th.
Mm-hmm.
I see. And is this full Internet access?
Yes, it is.
Do you get, like, a shell account?
No, you don't. What it is access. We use Netscape.
Netscape?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we offer an email facility, which is included in that packet, and we offer very competitive prices. I'm not sure if you've heard about the introductory offer.
I heard about the 20 and the 24 if you're not a customer. Is that right?
Okay. And the 5, did you hear about the 3 hours?
Yeah, 5 free hours a month if you're an AT&T customer.
That's right. There's no monthly service charge.
Right. Now, you say this is an introductory offer. How long does that last for?
For 1 year.
Uh-huh. Do you know what's going to happen after that?
I have no idea, but you are under an obligation if you want to cancel your service at that time.
I see. Okay, and what do people need to do to sign up?
Well, all we're doing is we're sending out some free software packages, which has all the information you'll need and a registration option in there.
Uh-huh.
So if you go over everything and you decide you'd like to give it a try, you enter your information and you can start accessing at that time. So you're under no obligation whatsoever right now.
Okay. And you have to use that software to get on.
That's right.
Okay. And the date is again March what?
March 14th, but it is going to take about 4 weeks for us to mail it out, so...
Okay. Well, I'll probably call back later and get a package sent to me.
Okay. okay? Did you not want to put an order in now? It is free of charge, as I said.
Well, I don't have my address handy.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thanks anyway. I don't, really. I have to look at my identification card. See, I have so many different identities that I don't even know who I am today, to be honest.
If you call back and you ask them...
For some reason, your microphone stopped working. Okay, talk again. There you go.
If you call back and you ask them for the software for the Mac, they'll tell you it's not available yet and that they anticipate it sometime in 96, but they're very nonspecific about that.
Why is the Mac always lagging way behind?
When they said, well, it has Netscape, and I said, yeah, well, I have Netscape. And they said, well, it has Mail Program, and I said, I have Mail Program, so why can't I use it?
Because yours doesn't have the AT&T virus in it that you're going
to
have for the rest of your life.
It must be something like that.
Yeah.
That I'm missing.
So, fiber, is this going to be something we can telnet into? Or are you going to have to, like, start off?
Highly unlikely.
So it's not like a real internet service at all, is it?
No. Well, I want to know if that accent was real.
I think
they might have hired her just
think so, because she sounds worldly?
Yeah, very worldly, world-net.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It
sounded kind of Australian, didn't it?
Do you think world.net is where they're getting it from?
Well, who knows?
Wow, that's
maybe they have a whole board like the United Nations.
9X, you got something on 9X, all right?
Yeah, actually,
I got some words to say about 9X,
yeah.
But let's hear what you have to say first. Then we'll take some phone calls, 212-279-3400.
This is information about a $9 rebate from 9X. Apparently, the Public Service Commission levied a fine because 9X failed to meet certain service goals during the period of March 94 through February 95.
Was one of them installing ISDN lines in a timely manner?
Well, funny you should ask, but they do mention some of the things that that they were levied because of.
Uh-huh.
Service interruptions for more than 24 hours. Repair appointments that were not kept. I think you've experienced that a few times.
Yeah, I think so.
A high volume of static or other line noises and other problems were the reasons the telephone company was slapped with the fine. This is apparently a quote from someone at the Public Service Commission.
Uh-huh.
And
so we're getting $9 back each, huh?
Yeah, $9. They're saying in April.
I want to see how that shows up on the bill. I mean, you know, they always like justify things. They say, you know, the MTA transit surcharge.
Yeah, the we screwed up credit.
The FCC line charge. Yeah, and what's this one going to be? It's like, sorry, here's your $9 back. Okay, so we'll be getting $9 in... Is that like dependent on how big your phone bill is, or is everyone getting the
no,
same
it
amount?
Says that everyone will be getting $9.87, which I don't know where they got the 87
cents. Well, some of us
from.
Got worse service than others, you know.
Yeah.
Some of us should get a lot more than that,
I think. Yeah, you missed more repair appointments.
Yeah, I missed more. I think I should get... You see, my cable company, when they miss an appointment, I get a free month of cable. I think that's kind of cool. Now, the phone company, I should get a free month of phone service or something like that.
If they did that, they'd be out of business.
Or maybe I should get a free visit. You know, just the guy drops by and visits and says, how's your phone?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. I should get something, you know. That's what we want, 9X. You know, last week we talked about the new 9X bills and how they always say, well, it's because of what you told us, so it's your fault. You know, we listened to you, and here's our new incredibly ridiculous-looking phone bill. Well, listen to us now. You know, we want free visits. We want we want what's coming to us, I guess. 9X. Okay, now let me tell you about 9X. Walking around Canal Street today, all right, I was trying to page you, actually.
Right? Really?
Do you know how difficult it is to do that? First of all, I use a 950 number, all right?
Okay.
Which some people know what a 950 number is. It's sort of like an 800 number, but there's no surcharge attached to it when you use a calling card. Usually the code isn't as long. Well, of course, most of the COCOTs down there didn't recognize what a 950 number was. They either cut it off immediately, they asked for $10 in coins, or they or they just muted your touch tones after you connected. And so I found a 9X phone, and I was happy because, well, 9X kiosk, actually. I saw the back of one, and I ran over to it. And that's always the phones where people are lined up because they're really the only ones that work. But those days are rapidly drawing to a close because... First of all, they have those damn yellow phones everywhere, which you can never do anything with. So there's always two or three people waiting for the real phone, and the yellow phone is just sitting there staring at you, saying, hey, if you had a card, you could be using me and, you know, paying more money for it, but you wouldn't
I
be standing
the
in the ring.
Yellow phones are great.
Yeah, but you use them to make calling card calls.
Right.
And you pay a surcharge every time you do that.
That's fine by me. I don't
I want to use my 950 number. My 950 number is not, you know, carries no surcharge. I don't have to pay, what, 60 cents per call?
That's a small price to pay.
Small price to pay. If I call you, if I beep you, it costs me about 13 cents. That's
yeah.
it. And that's about what it costs the phone company. No, it costs them obviously a lot less than that. But, you know, I don't want to have to pay a surcharge. I mean, why a surcharge? Surcharge is for something extra. That's the only thing your card does. There shouldn't be a surcharge on it.
Well, I don't even use the card. I just have the number.
Well, we've had this discussion before, so I don't even want to get into that. But the thing is, I finally, after waiting for the phone, after, you know, staring down the yellow phone for a while, I finally got onto a real 9X phone. And I dialed my 950 number, and I knew something was wrong immediately when, as soon as I hit the last digit of the 950 number, I heard a recording saying, "Thank you for using 9X. And if you listen to this, the voice is different for the 9X part than for the "thank you for using" part. It's like they fill in certain names.
Yeah.
So after the "thank you for using 9X part was said, things started going wacky on the phone. And I could tell, you know, I was hitting a button, and I wasn't getting the tone right away. It was like it was doing something with the tone. It was processing it, approving the tone before it actually sent it out. And then after I hit 12 digits, which is not enough to call somebody and put in a code, I got a recording on the phone saying, "No more dialing allowed." The thing that Rebel has been warning us about now for a year, it has come true. Yes. All throughout Canal Street, you get this. And you know what's funny about it? It's programmed directly into the keypad. So as soon as you hit any button, it says that. And if you hit a button really quickly, it'll just repeat it really quickly. And it's not coming from the central office. It's coming from the actual telephone itself.
It's a CoCot phone.
It's basically, yeah. It feels like a CoCot phone. And I experimented with this a little bit, and I realized the idiots... It doesn't work even if you do a Zero Plus call. Even if you try to bill it to a 9X calling card, you can't put in enough digits before it cuts you off. You can't bill a 9X calling card from a 9X payphone down on Canal Street anymore. Who are we protecting by doing something so stupid?
Well, all this is due to the fact that red boxes were just totally abused.
It's almost like you have to use a red box to make a phone call these days, because I'm sure that would have worked.
No, people just abuse them so much that now you have to put up with these new computerized CoCots.
Yeah, I thought it was the war on drugs we were fighting. Because people use beepers, and that you cut out beepers, that's going to solve all the problems.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's take some phone calls, because people have been waiting for quite some time. Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Okay, I had this thought to start off the discussion. Why not sort of get the Secret Service and 9X like to go after each other and hopefully cancel each other out?
Well, now, how would you do that? That would be nice, but I don't see how you're going
to
do it.
Well, I mean, you keep coming up with enough dirt on 9X every week to sort of, you know, make one think that there's some sort of conspiracy to defraud New Yorkers.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's one major entity controlling another major entity, you know, and they both kind of...
I'm just curious, they exist for each other.
Have
any of the powers in 9X done anything punitively to any of you consciously the way the Secret Service seems to be?
9X hasn't been that bad recently as far as you know,
there's
victimizing
no...
people, you know, aggressively going after people and trying to throw them in jail. I think Bell Atlantic has been a lot worse.
Oh, there are like special offices for anti-hackers or...
Yeah. I'm sure there are offices like that in 9X. I'm sure there are. But they just don't seem to be as you know, shooting from the hip.
About the new bill, it's totally insane. Do you know these new calling plan options they now offer?
For 9X?
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, they can be very good. I wanted to say that when we were talking about getting things back. I am finally getting something back because I see my phone bill, and I'm taking full advantage of this plan. I see... You paid $6.06 for this plan, and if you didn't have this plan, it would have cost you $249 or something crazy like that. And that's because I'm using the plan to the maximum.
Right.
I'm making all kinds of calls. I'm meeting people in New York City every day.
Option one,
I'm calling Westchester. I'm calling Nassau County. I'm just going crazy, calling people everywhere.
Is that option one you have?
I think it's the one that allows you to call everything outside your local zone for as long as you want.
It's not a standardized rate for everyone. They
no.
sort of look at your phone bill for the last year and come up with some sort of figure.
But I hadn't been using that phone line at all. so it was very low, so I got a very good price on that.
Well, there's two things about that. I found I saved a hell of a lot of money with the New York City calls,
uh-huh.
but I only made one call to Westchester, which came to 60 cents, and that part of the bill was, like, part of the plan, $14. Because it goes together, New York
right.
City and Westchester.
Well, you need to meet some more people there and just you know, call them all.
But first, it's so funny. When they first advertised it and everyone got the solicitation in the mail,
right.
I called up and they said, First, they had no record of my number because I had changed my number last May. And they said you need to have your new number in existence for at least a year so they can estimate the figures. Then someone a few months later from NYNEX called me trying, you know, after I had called them and they telling me I couldn't get it, someone like some telemarketer called me and said, oh, would you like to sign up? At this point, we can offer it to you for like $24 a month. It's like, you know, one office doesn't know what's going on with the other one.
That's that would not be the first time that happened.
I feel I'm like a softie. I feel sorry for Bernie S. Can he like be put in some sort of medical facility instead of prison or?
You know, I would have had a lot more faith. I would have had a lot more faith in the whole system if the judge had at one point said, "Is this guy getting medical attention?" You know, he told me today the nurses, the quote unquote nurses at that prison, say that he's faking it. I'd like to ask the people that went to the court today. Did he look like he was faking it?
No, not at all.
Wow.
We were concerned that he has TB or something.
Right. I mean, he is definitely ill. I mean, he's very pale. I mean, his cough is phlegmatic. I mean, and he keels over from it. I mean, he is obviously very sick.
Yeah. And they are not doing anything to help him. And this is, you know, this is something I hope is unrelated to his particular case. I think this is endemic of prisoners in general. They just do not get care.
He'll be out in 3 months for good behavior?
Well, I think as long as he's not accused of anything new in the next couple of months, he should be okay, but I don't know. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed on this. I'm hoping he's out in July. But, of course, they'll be looking for him to jaywalk, and they'll be all over him.
Lastly, just some encouragement to you guys. I, myself, got into the field of technology a little too late. I'm sort of talented and gifted in other areas.
It's never too late.
But, well, you guys are sort of my heroes and my role models. And, you know, I'm waiting for the day that Fiber does a max headroom or something of really, you know, high achievement. And
well, the cat's out of the bag now, Fiber.
Yeah, because, you know, on the super high, on the information superhighway, I'm unfortunately living in, like, a desert, you know. My area is sort of poor and low-tech. But, you know, I wish you guys well, and I hope you guys continue doing it until you're in your 90s and your exploits are sung from here to Rigel 7.
Okay, that's...
Take care.
Thanks for the encouragement. And hopefully you'll write to us in prison. And David is here from the computer show. You have a special announcement for us.
Well, if you think these folks are interesting, I know we've got Fiber and Emmanuel already committed, and we may get a few more of them. They're warm and generous and easily accessible, but one place in particular is 2 weeks from tonight. We're going to be doing a WBAI benefit at the At Cafe. It's a voluntary donation. If you can donate $10, we'll take it. If you can't, you're welcome anyway. At the At Cafe, we're going to get presentations from Emmanuel and Fiber. They haven't told me what they're going to be doing yet. There's going to be some really advanced stuff.
We have to give a presentation?
Yeah, we got two terminals with our name. One of them is going to have...
Okay, we'll come up with something.
And the other terminal will be running some basic stuff, too. So whatever level you're at, very friendly, At Cafe in 2 weeks. Let us know that you're coming, because it's not 100% certain, but it looks pretty good.
Okay.
So call here at the station, 279-0707. Leave your number and name on extension 122, 2 weeks from tonight, At Cafe. As many of these folks who want to come and do something are more than welcome, and I think you'll see some other interesting folks there, too.
Okay, sounds great. And we're looking forward to that, 2 weeks from tonight. Let's take a couple more phone calls. Good evening, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I wonder if you could give me some suggestions as to how, as to a web provider, an inexpensive web provider, where I could also access my email in New York City. I have a Mac. I'm going to hang up and listen. Okay.
Okay. Joker is doing cartwheels. He's got some suggestion. Let's hear what your suggestion is this week.
Yeah, there's going to be a new provider in New York City in about 2 weeks, but we have the capacity to do it now.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to give a call over to Web Communications, the place is actually going to be called webbed.net, and the number is
219-4006.
219-4006 and area code 212. Okay, that's one. There's a lot, but that's
so
the one that springs to mind off the top of our heads.
Yeah, let us tell you what we do.
Okay, let's take another phone call. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Yes, how are you?
Good. I'm fine, thank you. Let me catch my breath. I think what Bernie is dealing with is people who really don't want technically gifted people to poke their nose in technology. And, you know, they want to have all the metal detectors and the computers, well, the advanced computers and the knowledge. Plus, I think you have, this is a part of the crime inflation thing. These people have a job to protect, and they're going to find whatever they can to keep themselves in business. You know, their schoolmates who got into manufacturing jobs are probably looking to for a new career now. These guys are, you know, these guys are set for life.
Mm-hmm. Well, why does their career have to take them into the realm of locking people away? Why can't it include making the systems better, learning from what these people are telling them?
You're talking about a higher level of consciousness than these bozos have. They grew up on television and, you know, newspapers no better than the Daily News and, you know, schools that didn't really teach them too much except what they need to know to lock people up. More importantly, I think Bernie might be able to file a writ. I believe it would be a writ of mandamus. Or, you know, he could probably talk to a lawyer. And I think he would be able to sue for at least get some basic medical care. Now, the federal, the Bureau of Prisons has a ready-made defense. I was, I had some experiences with those people, and my information is over 20 years old. They have a ready-made defense. Well, we know that, the Bureau of Prisons is not able to provide medical care, good medical care. So that's the way it is. But mm-hmm. I think a good lawyer was prepared for that, you know, considering that he doesn't need anything outlandish.
Right.
You know, he probably just needs antibiotics or a good regimen of cough suppressant.
Well, a few weeks ago it was cough suppressant. I think he needs a lot more right now.
Well, it might have gone into a secondary, you know, a bacterial infection, at which point he needs, the thing is that the more you cough, the more you need to cough because you irritate the bronchial passages, you know, but the thing can turn into something chronic that may, you know, that may give him trouble for the rest of his life.
Absolutely.
So I think he should really, he may have to talk to the same judge, I guess, but... he can file a writ and try to get some action there.
I appreciate what you're saying, and that they are good ideas. It's just when you see the way the system works, you kind of sort of lose all hope that anything can change. But, yeah, you're right. We shouldn't lose hope, and we should keep trying.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, that's one of the reasons the system is so oppressive, is that
it's there to erode your spirit, to degrade
exactly.
you, to make you want to give up and not be a part of things. Listen, thanks for your call.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. I'm sorry we don't have time for more calls. I realize we kind of shortchanged the callers this week, but it was a pretty important event that we went through today. And it's going to have ramifications, obviously. The whole thing this isn't a surprise to us. It's going to have ramifications. We knew that last year when this all started. We just don't know where it's going to go next, who will be the next victim. But that's one thing I think we're pretty certain about, is that there will be more. You can help, I guess, by talking about this, bringing it up, bringing as many people into the fold as possible so that they understand what the issues are and so that all of this was not done in vain. In the weeks ahead, we'll be updating people, assuming that we're still here, we'll be updating people on how things are progressing with his particular case, any other cases that may come up, and we'll also be seeing just what it is that drives these people that want to lock us all away for possessing knowledge, for having books that are controversial, for doing all kinds of things that we had gone into some assumptions were protected by various key documents and declarations and things like that. We'll just have to stay tuned and see where things go in the weeks ahead. In the meantime, your support, of course, is appreciated. You can email us at Off the Hook, OTH@2600.com, or you can write to us here at WBAI 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018. And just write care of Off the Hook on there, and we'll try to respond to people when possible. This is Emmanuel Goldstein for Fiber Optic, Master Chemist, and Izzy. And for Bernie S., who is not here, unfortunately, hopefully he'll be here again next week.
I'll see you then. Good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get my break, but if I could, I would. For the rebound for the best special work. I hope that's understood, but then it knows.
Tuned to listener-sponsored WBAI-FM in New York City. The time is 9 o'clock. Coming up now is Housing Notebook.
Paint peeling off the wall, dirt piling in the hall, ice on the pipes, but no steam at all. Landlord, landlord, low down, rotten, good for nothing. Gonna raise your rent someday, kick you out if you can't pay. You and the goddamn OPA. Landlord, landlord, low down rotten, good for nothing.